The piano was being played by a blind man, whose forehead was furrowed by a huge scar. As Rodriguez came across at the end of the meal to oversee the removal of the greasy dishes and dirty glasses, Ryan caught him by the sleeve of his linen smock.
Oh, what is it, Mr. Carter? The meal not to thy liking?
Tell us about Captain Quad and the Salvation. What's so terrible about them?
Terrible? Why rock the boat asking that sort of question? It won't do thee good, Outlander.
Ryan tightened his grip.
Quad and the Salvation?
It's not good to blab about it. Don't want to finish keelhauler having my backbone laid bare by the cat. Let thee find someone else to tell thee about Quad, not me.
Ryan looked around the rising flukes, seeing that his conversation with Rodriguez had hushed every voice in the place. Every face was turned to him.
Well, any of you chicken shit bastards tell an Outlander about the fire-blasted mystery of the Salvation and her captain?
Faces were averted, eyes downcast.
Let it lie, mister. There's a couple of men of her crew here.
Ryan stood up, feeling the familiar rise of anger, the crimson mist that flowed down over his brain when the rage took him. For most of his adult years, he'd been able to control it. Most of the time. But now, it was swelling again.
Rodriguez says some of you are off the Salvation. So what's so fucking frightening about her?
Outlander!
At last.
Ryan turned to face the man who'd spoken. He was sitting in front of a half-finished plate of mutton stew at the long table nearest to the silent piano.
I'm second mate on the Salvation. Been that for 5 years now.
He was a little taller than average height, with a smaller beard than was usual about the bill. Several scars lined his weather-beaten face, one of them pulling down the corner of his left eye. The middle finger was missing from his left hand. He wore the jumper and breeches that most of the sailors favored. There was a dirk in his belt, with a hilt that looked as if it had been carved from a piece of bone or ivory.
Then you can tell me why everyone shits themselves at the mention of your ship and your captain.
Best keep thy prow out of waters that don't concern thee.
Ryan spat on the floor, shrugging off Christie's warning hand, knowing with a surge of strange excitement that he wasn't going to be cautious. Not this time. This time he was going to see the quarrel through, even if it meant pushing it all the way himself.
You scared to talk about it?
The man stood at that, pushing away the table, hands resting on his hips in a gesture that was provocative, and also kept his right hand near the knife hilt.
Scared, Outlander? Jonas Clegg fears neither man nor beast! There isn't a man born of woman or the whale broaching from the deepest waters that scares Jonas Clegg!
I say you're a liar, Clegg, and a white-gutted coward.
The mate smiled at that, gesturing to the three men with him to step away. The rest of the customers of the Rising Flukes also got up from their tables, backing off to ring the walls. Rodriguez shrugged his shoulders and retreated behind the bar.
Come on, lover.
Ryan glanced at her, and she took a sudden indrawn breath. She knew Ryan was a killer. That was his trade. But rarely had she seen his face glowing with the thrill of an imminent fight.
I've had enough of this place. Polite on the surface and something stinking rotten underneath. Time to get that out here in the open.
Careful, Ryan.
Always am, lover.
Finished saying thy goodbye to thy poxed whore, Outlander?
Sure you don't want to run and get your poxy Captain Quad and hide behind his skirts?
Hide behind his skirts? Then thou knowest not even that about the Salvation.
Get with the steel!
Aye, let us to the steel. Dost thou have a knife, Outlander?
Ryan drew the panga with its 18-inch cutting edge from its sheath, the sight of the weapon getting quite a reaction from around the taproom of the inn.
Bring the blood-red roses to thy cheeks, Jonas.
Clegg drew his own knife, showing it had a double-edged blade around 11 inches long.
My sticker will draw the teeth from thy butchering cleaver, my chilled Outlander.
Shut the fuck up and fight.
Ryan's whole body twitched with the adrenaline rush. He was filled with a burning desire to annihilate the man in front of him. He didn't really know why, but that didn't matter much in the Deathlands. There was something inherently evil about the whaling ship Salvation, and Ryan was about to remove a little of it from the earth. The extra length and weight of his panga was outweighed by the difficulty of using it effectively against a lighter blade in the hands of a skilled man. The sailor was a tough fighting man, veteran of dozens of tavern brawls and dockside melees. Over the years, he'd killed at least a dozen men in eye-to-eye combat. Ryan, approaching the near side of middle age, was a wetted, flawless chilling machine, with no idea of how many men and women he'd sent into the endless dark. Sensing that the one-eyed Outlander held himself like an experienced knife fighter, Clegg kept off, moving around in a slow shuffle, feet scraping on the worn boards. The point of his knife was up, threatening Ryan with a cut at groin or belly. The Panga wasn't ideal for this sort of cut-and-thrust, dancing standoff. It came in handy when tables were falling and chairs thrown, and a dozen men tangled in a bloody shambles of hacking steel.
Take him, Jonas!
Ryan's concentration was totally fixed on the men in front of him, watching the eyes for the flickering change of expression that would mean an attack. If he let the seaman get in too close, then he was done for. The man's dagger would be so much more maneuverable that it would be in and out between his ribs before Ryan could counter with a cleaver. Rodriguez looked worried behind the bar.
Sect men come by around this time!
Ryan hardly heard him. Everything around him was fading into the crimson mist that fogged his mind. In all the world, there was only Jonas Clegg and himself. And the two steel blades. Nothing more. Sparks danced in the smoky air as the knife and the Panga clashed. Clegg thrusting and Ryan managing to parry. The sailor was grinning with the tension, lips pulled back wolfishly off his teeth. The man was good, better than Ryan had guessed. Clegg nearly knocked over a table as he pivoted away from his opponent. Clegg reached for one of the pewter tankards with his free hand, throwing it at Ryan in a shower of ale, hoping to take him off balance. The seaman came in after it, ducking in anticipation of Ryan cutting at his head. Ryan second-guessed him. He immediately swung the long blade back. He aimed low, knowing that Clegg would try to dive in at him, aiming for his stomach. The impact ran clear up Ryan's arm from wrist to shoulder. Blood jetted from the severed stump of the man's right arm, spraying high in the air as the crippled man waved it helplessly as he backed away from Ryan. Words of the traitor came to Ryan's mind as he advanced grimly after Clegg, careful to avoid the slippery puddles of blood on the floor.
Get a man going. Chill him quick and best you can. It was good advice. Ryan could still recall a young man from Warwag 2, must have been 4 years ago, whose name had been Rocco Papini. He'd put down a mutie with two rounds from his little checkmate blaster. Instead of putting a third bullet into the creature's head, he'd drawn his knife and knelt down to cut its throat, thinking it was helpless. When Rocco had turned unexpectedly, the mutie opened him from groin to throat with a straight-edge razor. It had been Ryan who had blown the mutie's skull apart, which hadn't been much consolation to the dying Rocco Papini. Clegg tried to parry the next blow from the Panga, expecting it to come at his face or throat. Ryan fainted high and then struck low, taking care not to put all his strength into the cut. The one fault of the cleaver was that its heavy blade sometimes hacked so deeply that it got lodged in bone and wouldn't come free. This time it hit the staggering sailor near the top of the thigh. A reflex made Clegg half turn, saving his genitals, but the Panga hit him across the leg, cutting muscle and snapping the femur. The man staggered, but didn't fall down. Ryan was able to take a half step in and open up the front of Clegg's neck with a steady cut that drew the edge of the Panga across the taut skin. More blood gushed, and the seaman fell at last, kicking and jerking, breath bubbling pink from the severed windpipe.
Nate.
Nobody else spoke as the body finally ceased moving and became undeniably a corpse. At that moment, the front door of the tavern swung open. Ryan was kneeling by the body of